Vega Jane and the Rebels' Revolt by David Baldacci. Read by Katie Sobey. Chapter 1. A Place Called True. We landed invisible on the cobbles and were nearly killed. Petra Sonnet cried out. Delph Delphia grunted in surprise. My canine, Harry Two, yipped. And I, Vega Jane, jerked back on the magical tether holding us all together as a deafening contraption charged past us. It was boxy and made of metal and had doors with windows on either side. It also had what looked like four wagon wheels, but the infernal thing was moving of its own accord, with no sleps pulling it. It was puffing and wheezing with what sounded like metal clanking on metal, and in a few moments it turned the corner and vanished from our view. Delph looked at me, his face pale.
What was that?
I shook my head because I had no idea what it was. Rattled, I scratched Harry Two's remaining ear. We all had scars from our journey across the quag. Delph's arm had been burned and blackened. Harry Two had lost an ear. Petra had injured her hand. And I had the mark of the three hooks on the back of my hand. It had magically burned on my skin by some unknown means. I was about to return us to visibility by spinning my ring round when a pair of males appeared, both of them cloaked. We froze, each holding our breath.
"You sure it was from here?"
the taller of them asked the other. The male nodded. My mind was whirling. These were the blokes we had seen earlier, after escaping the quag. How could they have followed us? I glanced at Delph and Petra. They looked as terrified as I felt. I pointed to the right, and we shuffled off round the corner. We set our tucks down, and I whispered, "They followed us! How?" Petra shook her head. But Delph said,
"You reckon they can detect magic, because you done that to get us here."
He pointed to the magical tethers that kept us all invisible. I looked down at my wand like it had just bitten me. Could that be true? Delph said,
"Look."
He was pointing to the right. Down the cobbles at the very end of the street was a tall building made of stone and brick and timbers. I stared up at its highest point. "Steeples," I said in wonder.
"It's got a bell too," said Delph. "Me dad said steeples had a bell once, before it broke."
"Steeples?" said Petra, looking confused. "The place back in Wormwood where Wugmorts would go to listen to Ezekiel the sermonizer telling us to be good while scaring us half to death with tales of how badly our lives would turn out regardless of what we did," I explained. At night, steeples had always been empty. This building might be the same. We shouldered our tucks and crept along the cobbles until we came to the double wooden doors of the entrance. There was a sign next to it. "Saint Necros," I read. I glanced at Delph. "What do you reckon that means?"
"Dunno, do I?"
he replied.
"Never heard of no Saint Necro. All's I know is steeples."
I tried the doors, but they were locked. I pointed my wand at the heavy wrought iron lock and was about to whisper "Ingressio" when Delph grabbed my arm.
"Magic," he said warningly.
I nodded and slowly lowered my wand. Then Petra noticed a window on the side.
"It's not locked."
Delph boosted her up first and she slid through. I followed. Delph lifted Harry too through the opening and into my arms, and then he brought up the rear. We were inside a vast chamber that was far larger than steeples, though it had similar brightly coloured windows, rows of seats, and a raised area up front where sermons were no doubt given. I wondered whether the sermonizer who spoke here was as depressing as Ezekiel. Petra said in a hushed tone,
"Where do we go now?"
I pointed to a set of stone stairs.
"Let's see what's up that way."
"Why not down?" said Petra, pointing to another set of stairs that apparently led to a lower floor.
"No," I said, "up."